Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. If you haven't listened and subscribed, please check out the newest shows from Walnut Grovecast, which are called Bonnet Heads and The Little House Book Club. They are available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just visit walnutgrovecast.com for more information. As always, these podcasts are free of charge as well as commercial free, thanks to the following supporters: Leah Chiappino, Rhonda Ludwig, Margaret LaVisca, Elizabeth Velamagna, Laura Solarin, Julia Schroeder, Leah Mitchell from The Retro TV Podcast, Chris Hessler from the VHS Rewind Podcast, Tanya Weber, Alicia Murphy, Jennifer Jones, Marissa Baker, Kelly Milkey from the Dr. Quincast Podcast, JJ Hurley, Robin Lee, Thoy Rodriguez, Matilda Smith Thompson, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Shannon Quinton, Rebecca Harris, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Peyton England, Laura Furman, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files Podcast, Megan Parker, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV Podcast, Melissa Halfpint Gilbert, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, The No Agenda Podcast, Sherry Benner, Lydia Kikuchi, Stacey Corrigan, Avira Dabas, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Don Roberts, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Kendi Gleason, Angie Zadava, Megan Eichner, Katie Bollinger, Jeannie Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Dina Almanzo Butler, Julia Monin, Whitney Cole, Rebecca Frederick, Annie Quinn, Jill Stillman, Michelle Plug, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Stacey Keller, Matt Mercier, Cheyenne Hempton, Stephanie Carnes, Alicia Olin, Rachel Boren, and Jeannie Comer. Thank you all for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, a place, a constant place to meet his family. I was homeless and I saw his name, house on the prairie. Hello and welcome. This is Mark, and you're listening to Walnut Grovecast. Today, I have a very special guest, and as always, I say, let me stop this music. And one day, I'm going to produce something, but I'm never going to. I'm just not going to get around to it. Today, I have a very special guest who's joining me to review a wonderful episode. Her name is Shannon Quinton. How are you doing, Shannon?
I am doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to jump into this episode. Now, you recently did a Wagon Talks where people can go and listen to all of that and learn all about you. So that
yes,
it's coming. I have a lot of these things I need to edit, and I need to put aside the time to edit them all together. But it's a lot of fun. I really appreciate everyone who's participating in it. And if you're listening to this and you have an interest of coming on to Wagon Talks and talk about Little House on the Prairie for 10 or 15 minutes, email me, mark@walnutgrovecast.com. Free. Do you want to talk about the episode we're going to review today, Shannon? Tonight?
Sure. We are going to review Uncle Jed. It's from season 8 and it's episode 15. And it premiered on February 1st, 1982.
So we're going back in time tonight, but not so far back. I mean, we're in the 80s here.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. You know, Uncle, for whatever reason, I cannot get Jed right. I always call him Uncle Jeb with a B. And I'm not really sure why. I have this block with him. It's just
Well, maybe because Jeb in season 9, so maybe.
No, is Jeb confused? Isn't Jebediah a name, not Jedediah? I mean, I think it's both.
I think it's both. I think there is a Jedediah, and I think there is a Jebediah.
Yeah, they do that just to annoy me. So, I cannot remember what it's called. We were talking right before we hit record. The thing that you do to cast iron to kind of prep it so that it's non-stick, and I cannot remember the word. Yeah. All right, it just doesn't matter. Season.
I don't know.
Yeah, season it. Jeez. Holy moly. All right. I don't even know why I was talking about that, but all right. Season. Yes, season. Like Mark's losing it. He's lost his mind. All right. Let's jump into this. We have what I refer to as the Uncle Jed theme, I guess. Uncle Jed, of course, is played by E.J. Andre. And we'll talk a little bit more about him, but here's the music just to kind of get you in the mood for the episode as we have a stranger coming into Walnut Grove, probably in the coolest buggy that has ever been on the show. What do you think about the buggy?
Right?
It's like a low rider. It's got small wheels in the front. It's, you know, it's like black on black. It's really nice.
I know. And I was thinking too, okay, he has a driver.
Mm-hmm.
And so does he pay for his driver's like rent, like, or hotel pay stay? Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some stipend.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a stipend for him on a daily basis.
Mm. Yeah.
So here we go. This is the music. Whoa, that is very loud. I'm sorry. So it's just fancy music, I guess, right? It's just new guy coming into town, super fancy. The first thing we see with characters are in the schoolhouse, we get Laura teaching the class, and she's making a really big announcement. Here we go. I'm just going to play it.
The members of the school board have unanimously chosen the winner of this year's poetry contest. And that winner is Sandra Cooper.
I never won anything before.
Well, you sure do deserve it.
She certainly does. You might want to have that framed.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Framed? Who frames things? There are a couple things about this, which
especially
I think...
Especially at the Ingalls, they have no wall decoration.
Yeah, maybe Pa can make a frame, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I see Nancy behind Cassandra, and she's making these kind of faces like... Like, this is my prize, and I really would love her to stand up and do something dramatic. I mean, I maybe rip the thing in half, but I think that's a little too dramatic. But she's clearly jealous of Cassandra winning this award.
And you would expect her to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or stick her with a pin.
Yeah. Or she's probably thinking, I'm going to go home and kill Mother because, you know, Harriet wrote the essay for her. So
Mother, you promised
Mother.
Me.
Yeah.
Mother, you wrote this. It wasn't even good enough, right?
That's right.
That's probably the fact of the matter. It's like, I don't understand. I wrote it in French. But yeah, Cassandra's going to get this framed at the Mercantile, maybe. And it would be nice to get it framed, wouldn't it? But now, they go to the schoolyard, they're dismissed, and the kids go to the schoolyard. And I don't know if you noticed this, but there's this one little moment where you hear Willie say to Albert, do you want to play ball? And they go out, and you see them playing ball, and I swear to you, it's like aliens landed on Earth, and they had to learn how to play baseball in 30 seconds. This person throwing the ball has no idea how to throw a ball. And the guy swinging, you may as well think it's a tennis racket. It's so bizarre looking. The guy's on his tippy toes. He's on his tippy toes swinging, and the ball is like a good 15 feet above his head. It makes no sense.
Oh, that's funny. And I watched this episode like 3 times, and I didn't even pick
up. You gotta watch it again, like right after they leave the schoolhouse. It's like a little thing on. Because when I heard that, I thought, oh, okay, sports in Walnut Grove. Let's see what they're doing. And,
right.
Oh, my God. Terrible. All right.
Oh.
Well, poor kids. Now, Jedediah, I'm just going to call him Jedediah with the D. He comes in with the lowrider buggy. This thing is awesome. It's
yes.
Like, you ever see these people in, like, these, like, brand new BMWs that are all blacked out and everything is black and it's like, that thing looks like it costs, like, $100,000. That's what this looks like.
This is like the 1800s version of the BMW. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly for it. Sure. I mean, and I guess, like, Daimler, Chrysler, well, Daimler was around then, and I just would love to know who made this wagon, because it is so cool looking. I want to know if it's a real wagon. I'm going to dive into it. This episode forced me to pull out my Sears and Roebuck catalog.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, so I have a few things to add later on about all of this. But and they do sell wagons there and buggies, but not like this. This is nice. this has like coach leather and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. We have the introduction of Jedediah.
Excuse me, sir. I'm looking for the Ingalls place. That's about 3 miles straight down the road. If you're looking for Charles Ingalls, he's over digging an irrigation ditch at the Towns' place. That's about a mile and a half straight down.
He's the man who smells like horse manure.
Right.
Like, nobody's surprised that this guy who is like Mr. Moneybags is looking for Charles Ingalls. Like, let's not question that.
I know.
Willie comes running over and it's like, what?
Yeah.
So he goes on and even tips Willie.
How much of that?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
This is some rig, miss.
I'm sorry, what?
No, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but no. I just thought it was funny how Willie acts like he's never seen a dollar before. You know, he tips him a dollar, which is nice. I mean,
well, that's equivalent.
Tip that,
a $1 tip is equivalent to $25.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to finish this one little thing and you'll hear why he gets paid a whole dollar.
Sir? Okay. Well, thank you, son. Where would the hotel be? Right across the street, over the restaurant.
Oh. I've got a reservation over there. The name's Cooper, Jed Cooper. And now, why don't you take this bag and put it over in my room?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, he hands him a silver dollar. And it's like, what? Yeah. You know, this thing is pretty awesome, this guy. Just throwing his money around.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty wild, and all of a sudden, I think most people are looking at this and like, where do we know this guy from? Oh, you're going to know it, all right. here he is. He pulls up to Charles, who's digging ditches, literally. Just, you know, he's just a hardworking man. Come on. Let's not make fun of him, Shannon.
I'm not.
I know, I'm kidding.
I guess you don't recognize me.
Well, no, sir. I'm sorry. I don't.
Well, it was near a year ago that I was panning for gold up in Hiramsville when you came up with James and...
Wait a minute. Jed Cooper? Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize you.
Well, I guess I did look different then. Ragged and kind of poor and not so well fed. Tell me, how are my grandniece and nephew?
Oh, they're just fine. Just fine, and they're going to be so happy to see you.
Alan, I want to tell you, they've weighed heavy on my mind ever since I had to turn you down about caring for them. I kept fretting all the time they was in some orphanage. So it came as a great relief to me that the record showed that you took in the young'uns after all.
Well, we tried to write to you a couple of times, but the letters just kept coming back. I guess we just didn't have the right address. Listen, can you come over to the house for supper tonight?
Well, if it won't inconvenience you.
Not at all.
Yeah, maybe you tell your wife that you're going to invite people over to dinner, but hey, whatever, who am I?
Doesn't inconvenience Charles any.
Charles does not even ask him at all. Like, where did all this money come from? I mean, is it assumed that he, I don't know, the whole thing is, nobody's asking questions, and I want them to.
Yes.
So we get the story of how he made the money and now what. You know, it's really kind of, some of these clips are a little bit long and I'm not going to play them all just because they really are kind of, they're kind of never ending on for some of them. But he comes to the house and he's talking about how he he got a lot of gold. You know, he hit the mother load of gold. And what he wants to do now is live life. You know, he's just kind of enjoying the money.
Yeah.
He learns that Cassandra won this award. We're hoping to get it framed one day. And we're going to have her read it now. It's a very sweet poem.
I think I remember it all.
And she remembers this, like, right off the top of her head, because she's such a bright little girl. And she's really such a sweet little girl, isn't she?
She is. And I feel like everyone gives, like, James and Cassandra, like, especially the last two episodes of Wagon Talks, people have been, like, dogging them. Not really, but, you know, like, oh, my least favorite characters. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I had a soft spot for them. I don't know
why. I gotta tell you, I'm always going for the underdog. Excuse me. Always going for the underdog because, I don't know, everybody, like, kind of attacks Carrie. And I think Carrie's great.
I like Carrie, too.
Yeah, and just, I don't know. It doesn't make too much sense to me. Especially older Carrie. Older Carrie, I think, is great. She really could have just been the next Laura if she just stuck to her guns. But
I know.
I guess the show had to end at some point. And, you know, the whole reality of, you know, Laura being the number one person had to kind of go on and on and on. But here's the poem that won the award. And it really is that good.
Yeah. It's called A Miracle from God. Once I was lost and scared and cold. You have no family, I was told, except a brother to keep me warm from any winter or any storm. He was as lost and scared as I, but brave enough to never cry. We'll make it through, is what he said, even though Ma and Pa are dead. But in my heart, I could not see a life without them could ever be. He lay in cold silence beneath the sod. To save us would be a miracle from God. A miracle came like a glorious dawn, just when it seemed all hope was gone. We give thanks to God in his heaven above for our new family's unbounded love.
Well, child, I'm going to pull you away from all that. It's essentially it's the gist of the show, right? It's kind of, but it's such a sweet thing. I'm sorry, go on.
It is. No, the music is so melodramatic. But you know what I was thinking? Cassandra's about, what, like 8 or 9 years old?
Yeah.
And then you go back to season one when Laura was, you know, around the same age, 8 or 9, and she had to do that essay for school. And hers was like, Ma is good. She cooks, she sews, and then there's Cassandra.
A plus.
Poet.
You're absolutely right. That's so funny. Oh my God. It's well, and now she's teaching them. So it's kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
Hopefully you got a little bit better after that. Now, we mentioned a little bit before about Jason Bateman. I think Jason Bateman is incredible in this. I think as a child actor, he's really great in this. And I don't know, people really come down on him too. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's Jason Bateman. Teen Wolf.
I guess
too.
I guess because they feel like they're kind of like replacements, maybe. James and Cassandra. I don't know. But I think Missy Francis and Jason Bateman are very good actors and actresses, you know, for
What does she do now? Does she still do
No. She went to Harvard. Oh. She's on Fox. She's some sort of like I don't know exactly, like some money analyst or something. But
well isn't she fancy?
Yeah.
with her big eyes.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And I always like to hear childhood things like that happen. You know, like the childhood actor things happen where they actually go on and do bigger and better things. And of course Jason Bateman became I don't know if he's doing anything currently, but he's just always seemingly in different productions. So that's pretty good.
Yes. He's in Ozark, and that's good. It's on Netflix. My husband and I watch it. Yeah.
I've heard of Ozark. I just, there's just too many things to watch, to be honest with
you. Yeah.
We're watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, my son and I. And I'm not a big superhero person. I mean, I like the stuff. But it's so good that even if you don't like superheroes, you might like it.
Hmm.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
It's getting a little superhero-y. But so the poem is genius. You know, it's really should be published. And so the next day they go to the school and they start kind of, well, everyone goes to school and Jed starts throwing his money around a little bit. He brings up the fact that it's time for him, his great niece and nephew, to get some better stuff in life. But I'll just play the clip.
What are we going to do today, Uncle Jed?
Today, we are going shopping.
Shopping? For what?
I couldn't help noticing. It seems to me you both need a set of new clothes.
New clothes?
Why, sure.
Gee, Uncle Jed, I don't know.
Now, what's troubling you?
All the rest of the kids in the family.
Oh?
I'd sure feel funny having new things when they don't. Oh, that's right.
Well, I'll tell you. I already thought of that. So, come on.
You mean all of them?
You betcha. One for school and one for Sundays.
Oh! Well, now, of course, I'll need all of their sizes again. You know how children grow.
Gee, Uncle Jed, Sundays, too?
Don't you need them?
Yeah, I guess. I'm wearing one of Albert's old suits, and that's already getting too small.
Harriet's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy's going to be spending so much money in the mercantile.
I know.
She makes one comment at the very end I just think is so funny. I probably have to turn it up in order to get it to play over, but here's the rest of that clip.
My best dress belonged to Mary.
Well, then there you are.
Mary? Who's that?
Right.
What is that, from 80 years ago? Holy moly, wearing a Mary outfit? And I'd love, you know, I want to know if she's really wearing outfits that the old characters wore, because I think that would be kind of great.
I thought about that, and I don't think Mary ever wore that outfit to church on Sunday, unless she's referring to when Mary was younger, before, you know,
yeah,
the TV show or whatever, but.
Well, I'm going to have to start paying attention to it, just like the ferns. I need to start paying attention to not just the wallpaper in Harriet's study or living room. I need to watch their dresses.
And they never, after this, they never wear the new stuff that Uncle Jed bought them.
Well, I have a lot of questions about what happens post this episode.
Mm.
A lot of questions.
Ah! Oh, well, of course, now it may take several weeks to fill the order.
Now, Nels is in the background coloring. I don't know what he's doing. And he's like just drawing circles. And he is so uninterested. Like, it's so bizarre. Like, why isn't he being the friendly guy? He's always like, friendly guy.
I don't know.
Seems kind of
maybe
strange.
He and Harriet got into a fight before, you know,
well, of
they
course,
came in.
You know, that's a given. And, yeah, they were filling up the jelly beans. Maybe he wanted more licorice. Nels is more of a licorice eater, right?
Yeah.
Like a black licorice jelly bean eater.
Yeah.
Then we best get started.
Yes, sir. Nels, go into the storeroom and get the samples for me, please. Hurry up. This old man has lots of money.
She said, this old man has a lot of money. Oh, Harry, you're awesome.
Yes.
It's never ending how great she is. We go to the little house. I mean, I think it's great that he's sharing the wealth.
Sure.
I really do. I think that it's fair, and this is a family that can really use it. So they're in the little house, and they're going through catalogs. Caroline. How do I confuse those two? Is holding a very similar book than I have for the Sears and Roebuck catalog, but I don't think that's a Sears and Roebuck catalog that she's holding. But here we go.
Great.
They look good, too.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you're welcome, son. I hope you don't mind my doing this. But I mean, I can see where some folks might take it wrong, like you don't have enough to provide. But please don't take it that way. I'm a humble gentleman myself. And I plain enjoy the pleasure of buying them, these things.
Of course, we understand.
Do
Just don't spoil them too much.
Oh, that might be asking a lot.
Ma, Pa, Uncle Jed, look. This is the suit I want, and this is the cloth I want.
Well, aren't you the handsome lad?
Oh, then he will be.
It's very nice, James.
Ma, come look at this material.
That's a $4 hanky. No, you know, Ma just wants to say, like, yeah, maybe we can just kind of get one of these little toaster ovens or something, you know, or an electric iron or something. I don't know if they had electric irons yet. Probably not.
I don't know.
I know electric irons were popular in the, like, 1920s, but, yeah, I guess they didn't even have electricity, so they wouldn't be able to plug it in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Caroline, everybody's looking through the catalog. Charles is starting to look a little concerned. I think he's starting to see the writing on the wall.
I noticed that, too.
Like, it's nice. I think what Jed said is really great, but at the same time, he's wondering how can he compete with this, and does he need to compete with it? So it's a very questionable type of thing. We go through a very long period of time where Uncle Jed shares the story of their parents and kind of creates more of a connection with the two, with Cassandra and James. So I'm not going to play that because it's really boring.
Yeah.
But, you know, this guy, I mean, he's doing exactly what a lot of people do when maybe they win the lottery. They give back to the people that they're surrounded by, maybe. And the church is not being left off this list, which we learn here.
For the past few weeks, we have enjoyed the presence in Walnut Grove of Mr. Jedediah Cooper. And before we end today's service,
there is not one person in that church I recognize outside of the main characters.
I don't have the video up right now. So
no, it's just, but it's crazy. I don't know any of them. It is not so. But I'll let him go on.
I want to publicly thank him for his generosity in donating funds for a new church roof.
A new roof? Except I see Almanzo back there with Laura. Yeah, I don't recognize any of these people, the other people. Bunch of strangers, bunch of tourists. Get out of here. We don't like tourists. What?
They all wanted to see the wagon.
Yeah, it's French. It's a very fancy wagon. Yeah. But I wonder if they really made wagons like that cool looking back then. I mean, it's almost like steampunk level of coolness.
Yeah.
I took some screenshots, don't worry. So things, I think, are starting to become aware that changes are being requested by Jed. So Jed asks the Ingalls to come and walk alone with them and just kind of talk. Again, this is a kind of a long clip, but it really does set up the what's going on.
It was a wonderful thing, donating a new roof.
Thank you.
It was. The old one wouldn't have lasted through the winter, that's for sure.
Well, it's the least I could do to help repay them.
Now, you know, the town is full of people who just build things constantly, right? I mean, couldn't they just kind of, you know, and get the lumber together and just kind of fix it? But I guess if it's all provided, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I'm back for the many kindnesses I've gotten. You know, you're fine people. All of you, and well, that's why I want to say what I want to talk about is, well, it's really kind of hard for me.
Spit it out, Junior. But before he goes on, do you want to talk about Uncle Jed? Well, the character EJ Andre. I didn't know if you wanted to go down that rabbit hole a little bit of the actor.
Yeah, we can. So I searched him on IMDb. And obviously he looks familiar, but I didn't realize he was in actually like four other episodes. Four. Okay.
Or four characters.
Yes. But
maybe five episodes, but four characters.
Okay. Yeah. He was in, let's see, His Father's Son, season two. And he was in Going Home, season two. And then he was in Gold Country, which I think is hilarious because he was playing, you know, like searching for gold then too.
Plays a prospector. So it's kind of it's just bizarre. He looks like a prospector.
He does. He's getting typecast. And but then he also plays St. Peter in The God Sister.
You know, I love his voice. I know it's a little gravelly, I'm sorry. But I don't know. There's something about his voice I really like. I don't know. This is more of a physical thing with him, but I don't know if he was a boxer at some point, but his nose looks like it's been broken enough times to be a boxer. And I'm just not really sure. I tried to find out if there was any type of boxing history, but I couldn't find anything.
So,
I didn't know if you had found anything. I guess
not. I did not. No.
That's all right. But here he's going to yabber on about what he wants to do.
You see, these last 3 weeks I've been with the young'uns. I don't remember when I ever been so happy.
They've loved every minute of it.
I know, and that's what a man dreams his family should be. Close and loving. Karen. Well, it's the kind of happiness that I just can't stand to leave behind.
Jed, why leave it behind? You'd build yourself a fine place right here in Walnut Grove.
Yes.
Yuck.
Then you could see the children however much you wanted to.
He's like,
pass.
It's kind of a dry town. I don't know. Yeah. it's like I can afford champagne. I don't know. I don't know if that's the greatest idea. Actually, it says here that he was in 6 episodes. Crazy.
Oh, yeah, because he was in the Lost ones, too.
Oh, that makes sense.
That would
count,
yeah.
I didn't even think of that one. Okay.
I know. And it could be the reasonable thing to do, but I admit it. But you see, I've spent near a lifetime gophering around in one gold field or another. Made some good strikes, too. But not like this one. Even I couldn't find the means to squander it away. Hell, anyways, having spent most of my life in out-of-the-way places, I have the ambition to finally settle down in the center of things, in the city with all it has to offer, and maybe go traveling to Europe or any other place I'd a mind to. And I'd like James and Cassandra to go with me.
Pump the brakes. Hold on. Those are my children. Yeah, there's going to be that type of attitude. His first role was in The Ten Commandments from 1956. Oh. Yeah, I did not realize that. He played Sheik of Hazaroth.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. I am very impressed with him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he goes on, and of course the Ingalls are floored, but I don't know why they would be floored. I mean,
yeah, didn't they see that coming? Because I saw that coming.
Yeah.
The moment he entered town.
I mean, the guy pulls in with like this cool buggy, you know, and it's like he's got all this money, and I don't know. I just think writing was definitely on the wall. Maybe they just kind of hope that it wasn't. It's very sad, denial. But it seems like a good idea, to be honest with you.
But for him to take the kids?
Yeah. I mean, it seems logical
to
me.
They'd be set up for life. Yeah.
I mean, I the bottom line is he's hoping that he can talk to Cassandra and James and let them know. And he thinks in his head that they're going to jump at the opportunity. I mean, most people would. You know, it's like have everything you want versus on the other, it's kind of such a weird thing for kids. I guess one thing is a completely scary journey where you get all of the stuff at the end of the day. But who is Uncle Jed? You know, it's like this guy is like coughing up his lung. And we learn more about that in the future, too. So, but, you know, kids are so innocent, you know, with the way they ask questions. And James is still at that age of innocence, and he just has no problem asking questions. So here they are on a walk.
Jeff?
Hmm?
Why do you cough so much?
Well, kind of goes with the territory. Standing for too many years and too many rivers panning for gold.
Doesn't it bother you?
Well, not especially. I had it too long. I kind of got used to it.
Uncle Jed?
Yes, darling.
Were you ever married?
Well, almost I was.
What happened?
Well, she married another fella.
Well, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I was plenty riled about it for a long time. Marrying Betsy and raising a family was, well, it was all I could think of.
Fun fact, my wife's name is Betsy.
Oh, yeah.
For real, though. So it's kind of funny. I just thought I'd play the whole clip in honor of my wife.
Oh,
no, I think it's a sweet little thing. I think this little bit of communication between the three kind of, it's nice. Like they're showing that they're comfortable asking him these kind of uncomfortable questions.
Yeah. And I think for the viewer, like you build maybe a little bit of like compassion for him.
Yeah. And then they lay it on a little thick and it becomes, you know, kind of guilt on purpose. I think.
Right.
And it's like, shut up already. I get mad.
Yeah.
Met other ladies.
Oh, I did. But they wasn't Betsy.
I'm sure you met other ladies. Oh, yeah. Especially since I got rich. All right. Yeah. That's terrible. I can't believe you said that. All right.
Gosh, you must have really been crazy about her.
I was.
Did you ever see her again?
No, only in my mind. It's funny, a thing like that. It hurts so terrible for a long time, and well, then you start building a shell around yourself, and you don't feel nothing for an even longer time. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. It's kind of what Cassandra went through when Mom and Pa got killed.
They throw that around so easily, right?
I know. Like,
oh, my God.
Just casual. Yeah. When Mom and Pa died, you know.
Right, and it's like, oh my, as soon as he says, you're like, oh, these poor kids.
Yeah.
You just want to, you know, protect them, and I guess that's intentional. It's just, they really do throw it around quite a bit. This is the second time so far. Right, Cassandra and her little poem. Oh my God. Yep. She knows how to, like, really, you know, work people, I think.
That's they do. They use it to manipulate us. No.
They're survivors.
Yeah, here's more manipulation.
Fucking in my sleep.
Well, what you went through was a lot more terrible than what I've been talking about. You see, finding you two, well, it's made up for an awful lot.
Oh, us two, Uncle Jed.
No fooling.
Sure.
Well, you've been happy with the Ingalls, ain't you?
Yeah, but you're special.
And what was that? Did you catch that? Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Like, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, they're all right.
Hmm. Yeah, I have chores, you know, and yeah. Albert snores, and, you know, he picks my pocket. he's kind of a thief. Got this drug habit. All right.
How special.
Well, that's kind of hard to explain. See, it's not that we don't like the Ingalls family. It's just that we love all each other as family.
But that doesn't mean we don't remember how much we loved our real Ma and Pa. Having you with us, Uncle Jed, it's like having a little bit of them back again.
Bless you.
Oh, jeez. They're going to own this guy. If they were to go away, oh, man. He would just be cutting checks constantly.
Yeah.
Like, how do you say no to this, you know, these two? It's like the perfect little boy and girl. Oh, man. And I don't know how somebody can watch Little House on the Prairie and not just love these two characters. Seriously.
I know.
Just give them a chance. They'll sell you. Jason Bateman. So yeah, they need to make a decision. They either need to live in the Ingalls house or they need to, you know, to be wealthy. So
yeah,
here they are around the table discussing it a little bit.
Why didn't you say anything today?
Your Uncle Jed thought we should take a little time to prepare you.
We love him a lot, but I don't want to leave here.
And we don't want you to. But it's too important a decision not to give it a lot of thought.
That's right.
You almost hear Carrie saying, I'm a daughter. Can you guys pay any attention to me? I'm young still.
I know.
Poor Carrie. Jeez,
but
Grace.
She does speak. She does. She has a speaking part in this scene.
Yeah, and she kind of looks like Cassandra a little too much. There's this whole thing where they're dressed exactly the same with the pigtails and the same color of hair, same length hair. Definitely an age difference, of course. But I don't know. And then you have Grace in the background.
In her high chair.
Yeah. Like 15 years old in a high chair.
I know.
No, it's, but with that platinum blonde hair, crazy.
Right.
All right. It's like, where did that come from?
I know.
Let's not get into it.
There's an awful lot of things your Uncle Jed can give you that we can't. Schools, travel, big house, anything money can buy.
Be a very different life from what you have here.
You like the little jab right there, actually, if we're going to dissect it really deeply. Anything money can buy.
Yeah.
He can give you anything money can buy. All I can give you is love. Oh, Charlie.
Very nice, too.
I'd miss you. Something awful.
Yeah, I'll say.
Where'd this guy come from?
So, what I think you should do is take your time. Think about it. Talk it over. Your Uncle Jed would like to see you after school tomorrow.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big decision, of course. I mean,
for sure.
I mean, the Ingalls are awesome. I mean, I think we all wanted to live with the Ingalls at some point of our lives, you know, even if we grew up loving our parents. It's like, you kind of wanted to live with the Ingalls still. You know, but I don't know. Jed, he doesn't seem like such a bad guy.
No, I think overall his intentions are good, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't think he went about it the right way.
Well, if there's one thing I know about Little House on the Prairie, it's when there's a decision to be made, there is discussion to be had in the loft.
And that's
And that's what's going on. I don't know if they're all in the loft. You know, I'm not sure you got four people up there in the loft.
So they are. There's actually like a split. I don't really know how they all fit up there, to be honest, but there's a curtain. So the
Albert has to go first. He has to pull one in.
I think Albert and James are where Mary and Laura used to be. And then Cassandra and Carrie are like near the ladder.
Do they even have air up there?
Fall off,
I'm nervous. But... do they even have air?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm nervous. Wow. But here they are. They're having these little sweet conversations.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. It's kind of sad. So here we go.
Yes. What do you think you'll do? Oh, no. Mom, Pa said we should think about it. And that's what I'm doing. If you went away, do you think you'd have servants? Rich people usually do.
Excuse me. Whoa. Let me explain to you, Carrie, how rich people live. She's already talking down to her. Oh my god, she's got the mentality.
It's already corrupted.
Yeah.
I wonder what that'd be like. Do you like that?
Would you like that? Because you can't have that.
Because you can't have it, right? I was just going to say that.
Poor girl. Oh.
I can't even imagine it. Neither can I. Albert?
Yeah?
What do you think we should do?
I can't tell you that. I'm not you.
I guess it would be something. Not having everything that we want.
You wouldn't have us.
Yeah, but we could visit.
Yeah.
be the same.
You tell him. It wouldn't be the same. I would stop loving you, James.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. I'm just going to write it down. Just, you could save this piece of paper, but I will no longer. I'm going to be writing you off in life. Oh, my God. That's kind of a jab, too. Like,
it is.
Well, it won't be the same.
Yep.
You'll have servants. So, yeah, Jed is like, let's take a little ride. And he's going to try to sell himself to them. I think.
Yes. And, yeah. Sorry. When he takes them off, Carrie and Albert, their faces, it's so pathetic.
I'm taking a screenshot so right now. They're in new clothes, and it's like they look like they just don't fit right.
I know.
It's almost like if there was exhaust in that thing, it would like blown in their faces, or like diesel black soot or something. Right. Poor kids, you know. And this is where you know I look at Carrie, and I'm like, all right, she's you know growing up, and she's really dressed exactly like Cassandra.
Yeah.
To a T. And maybe that was also intentional, kind of like they have this sister ship that we really never saw on the show. There was never a moment, aside from the dresses, where Mary and Laura had this, like, let's dress up exactly the same type of thing. Like, you know, with the hair the same.
Right.
You know.
No, I don't think they'd ever want to.
I don't know if I've ever seen Mary in pigtails. Right.
No, just the one time that they had to for the scene when they go to save the puppies, but otherwise her hair would have been in her face and it would have been a mess. But when they go swimming to save the puppies, that's the only time I've ever seen her hair in braids.
You know what? I don't even remember her hair in that, so I'm going to have to take a look at that. But I don't know. I think that maybe they were trying to kind of create this, you know, we're best friends. We sleep right next to each other in the loft.
I think so, too, because it was one of their first episodes. I think it might have been Growing Pains. And they're all getting ready in the morning. And Cassandra says something like, I want my hair in braids like Carrie. And
I remember that.
We have to hurry up and whatever. So, I do think that they do have a strong bond.
Yeah. And I don't know if they totally sold it completely, but I definitely see the effort that the production is putting into it. They're not sure what they're going to do. He's really laying it on thick. Like, you can have whatever you want. And
you want ponies?
Yeah, pony. Get you two ponies.
Yeah, right.
You like Slurpees? We got a 7-Eleven right here. We'll get you I'll even buy you the cup, you know. And, you know, it's all types of amazing things that they were going to get. Ponies, Slurpees, everything. So James is like, I need to get off right now because I need to talk to my sister about this because, you know, it's like, have you ever seen the movie The Toy?
No.
It has Richard Pryor in it. It doesn't hold up very well, but it's about a rich, spoiled kid who wants to, he wants his father, who's played by Jackie Gleason, to buy him an African-American man. And it's a movie that would never be able to be made today. And it's just antics and everything. It's just a matter of that's the ultimate spoiled kid. And I just picture that crazy lifestyle of just throwing anything you want at these two. And they would have ended up buying a man. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Awful. Just awful. So they get off and now they're going to talk a little bit about it.
What are we gonna do? I don't wanna leave here.
Oh, me neither.
It'd be nice to visit me sometimes, but...
Yeah, but it means so much to him. I couldn't say anything.
Neither could I.
The audio is really fluctuating in this episode, so I apologize. I'm trying to keep it as level as possible.
Okay.
But
good.
Yeah, out of nowhere, it's like booming. It's like, geez, back it up. Sorry. So, yeah, I mean, all right, we get it. They're conflicted. They don't know what they're going to do. I'm just going to give the time. I know you're not watching along with it on video, but at 25:47, Albert comes from the kitchen holding an armful of wood going to the fireplace. And I'm like, where is he coming from holding that wood? You know, he's coming from the back of the house.
Okay.
To the fireplace. You know, the wood is stored in the front of the house. So I thought that was kind of funny. They just had to give him a prop to hold because.
Yes.
But I also noticed that you have Grace and Carrie coloring.
I have this written down too.
Do you really? All right. Yeah. Let's hear what you.
Okay. So I looked it up because I was like, were crayons a thing back then?
I can't believe we both noticed the same thing. That's awesome.
I don't know why. It always bothered me. And they weren't. They weren't sold in stores until around 1903, at least Crayola. And I guess from what the small amount of research I did, they had crayons back then, but they weren't like used for like coloring. They weren't for kids.
I found similar information. Okay. There were crayons, right. Which is just a mixture of wax and charcoal and things. So there was a company called E. Steiger and Company in New York. I could not get a price on what they were selling their wax crayons for, but that is, let's see, they had a catalog of products that came out as early as June of 1876.
Okay.
But I have a feeling they weren't cheap. They were not in my Sears Roebuck catalog. They have all art supplies. They have different paints and pencils and inks. I cannot find any crayons. So, and I did scour it. Now, the other part of this little mystery is the coloring book.
Because,
and the first coloring book, let me see if I can find it. I did save it here somewhere. Dang it. I didn't put it in the notes, but I have it open here. It's called The Little Folks Painting Book. Yeah, The Little Folks Painting Book. And it came out. I'm going to put a link to it. You can actually download it on archive.org.
Okay.
And yeah, The Little Folks Painting Book, a series of outline engravings for watercolor painting by Kate Greenaway. And I believe that was about 1880. So they didn't buy this book for them. This is a coloring book that they bought at the Woolworths down the street, probably.
<That's right.
laughs> Yeah. But whenever we see anything that's a little bit out of place, we have to point our finger. I also that might be new, might not be new. Do you ever notice that there's a coat rack or maybe a hat rack between the kitchen? Maybe that's an apron rack. Between the kitchen and the master suite.
Yes, I have noticed the rack, yes.
Okay, so that's not new. The walls look very clean to me. So it's like, I just feel like, what's going on in this scene? Anyway, of course I took a screenshot. So, but I will put a link to it. The book is really interesting. The entire thing is online. You can kind of flip through it. I don't know if you ever use archive.org, but it's like a free place where you can get this kind of stuff. And it's really kind of cool. And a lot of it's colored in already. And it looks like somebody did it with, really caring about it. So it's like really well done. But here we go. Here's the little scene that brought us to all of these strange stories that we just went into. It's totally silent. Sorry.
Very good.
You know what it is? It's so visual. I got so held up on the crayons. And
yeah.
Everybody turns to find out what the deal is. Grace is like, I'm just trying to color in the lines. I don't really care if they come or go. Doesn't affect me.
It was probably her personal coloring book, you know, the twins. It was probably theirs that kept them occupied in between scenes.
She's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't have any lines.
Right.
Let it go.
Well, we hope you meant what you said about how you want us to stay. Because that's what we want, too.
Yay.
Life is good.
But they didn't tell the old man.
No.
So what does Charles do? Do you want to say what Charles does? He decides to break the news to the old man.
Yes.
And he goes up to his hotel. And this is where it all hits the fan. This is kind of where things get a little bit dark. He goes up there. Uncle Jed is coughing, just coughing. We hear him just wheezing, and he's kind of feeble. You know, I'm not really sure. I can't tell if he's 60 or 91. So,
yeah, and I was going to ask you how old you thought he was.
Yeah, I didn't. Did you get his age? I can get his age here real quick, but I'm going to play the clip, and then did you get his age, or?
I did not. No.
Okay, I'm going to get his age while we're doing this, and here we go.
I'm fine. It always acts up like that whenever I get bad news. I'm all right now. It's too bad. I hoped it would work out the other way so no one needed to feel that they didn't have a choice.
Did you notice his eyebrows? The length of his eyebrows?
I did. You could braid them.
One day I hope to have eyebrows this big and long. I mean, this takes a special type of person. Like, I don't know. I've never cut my eyebrow. Like, I don't think my eyebrows have ever grown a length that was, that I've never thought of my eyebrows as having a length.
No.
They just kind of, they're about the length of, like, I don't know how long they are. Maybe an 18th of an inch. Like, they're tiny. So strange. But these, some of these hairs have to be an inch or longer.
Yeah, it's talent. Yeah.
Wow. It's like when people have a handlebar mustachio.
Oh, yeah.
He has them in his eyebrows. Incredible.
That's right.
Incredible. He is 74 during the filming of this. So I'd say that he looks 74. He looks his age.
Yeah.
Charles, I want those children. Now you can make it easy for yourselves and go along. If not, I have telephoned the circuit judge. He can be here in 3 days, and so can my lawyer.
So Charles is like, all right, you know what? Sue me. Like, fine. No, we're going to take this to court. We're going to take it as far as we can take it in Walnut Grove.
I like that Jed, well, I don't really like that he already contacted the judge before he even got the answer from the kids.
He has a very proactive attitude about things ever since. I'm sure that he learned a lot about the way money changes people and how powerful money can be. Because, I mean, he went from absolutely nothing to having all this money, and he just sees, like, all of a sudden all the respect that is just offered to him just because of money. It's a little sickening, right? I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, all of a sudden the church is making announcements just because he gave them money. And it's just, it is a little bit sickening.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming the church. I'm not saying any of that kind of stuff. It's just, at some point you just have to kind of ask yourself, like, you know, what's the whole point of all of that thing? I'm like, what am I talking about? So, let's see. So Uncle Jed turns on his jerk face and he becomes a complete jerk. Charles is completely mad. And he's like, fine, let's go to the people's court. Which would be kind of awesome. It's like, dent, 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 dent.
Someone should do a parody of that. Like,
we might have to, because I think we're the only ones who would be willing to do it.
Yes, that's true.
Let's see. Everything hits the fan. All right, we're in the mercantile, and Harriet's going to give her 2 cents as she filled up the jelly bean jar.
I don't know what Charles Ingalls is thinking of, that's all. I mean, there they all are, crammed together in that little tiny house, and he won't take
Harriet, the Harriet, he loves those children.
Oh, no.
She's just so dismissive. Like, it's love. It's not money, but who comes coughing in? It's Uncle Jed.
Oh, Mr. Cooper.
Mrs. Olson. Oh, you sound worse. It'll get better. Have you ever got any more of that medicine?
Well, sure, but I think you ought to see Doc Baker. He could prescribe something a lot better than what we've got.
Well, that may be so, but right now I got to get to that hearing.
Well, Mr. Cooper, I certainly do hope that you win that case.
Oh, I'll win. I'll win.
Here we are.
Thank you. Just put it on my bill.
Now, when he said that, I thought, being that the only bit of currency that we saw was the silver dollar, I started thinking that this was a big scam.
Ooh.
But it's not.
No.
I was wrong. But I would have thought that that would be kind of interesting.
Would have been really interesting plot twist.
You know, I hadn't seen this episode in such a long time, and I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, I don't know, I tend to just kind of quickly go down, like, fake, story mode, and I'm thinking, well, what if the kids inherited all this money, and he just wants to do, to, you know, get custody of them so that he can get their money, and... But that's not, it's just not a reality. And I'm not going to write Little House on the Prairie fan fiction. Sorry, Shannon. Just not doing it. All right, here we go. So he takes a big old swig of that stuff.
Yeah.
Charles may love those children, but he certainly doesn't have the right to deprive them of the opportunity to be rich. How much is that cough, Hughes?
That's all she cares about. She's like, how much is that cough medicine? But I love Harriet. I just think she's fun. She's so fun. And we're in court. We get a great view of his eyebrows. This guy is great. This guy reminds you of Dick Van Dyke. He has this, I don't know who he is. I've never seen him before. I looked him up. I don't think I've seen very much of anything that he's been in, but the judge is really kind of great. I'm gonna play some of it. It's pretty long, but I'm just gonna blast through it a bit.
James and Cassandra have already expressed preference to remain with the Ingalls family.
That is correct, Your Honor.
I'd like the children to answer, please. James, Cassandra, is it your wish to continue living with Mr. and Mrs. Ingalls?
This is where Caroline opens up her mouth again. Yes, yes, thee. And honestly, Charles, when he gets shut down, I keep thinking, like, the Charles Ingalls is probably thinking, well, do you know who I am? Because I'm Charles Ingalls. Maybe you shouldn't really be speaking to me like this. Because I'm kind of a big deal here.
I always get my way.
Yeah, it's like people carry sacks of grain for me when my ribs are broken.
Yes, sir. Sir.
Very well. You may present your case, Counselor.
Your Honor, first of all, I wish to state that there is one respect in which this case is most unusual.
Blah, blah, blah. So, It's good enough. I mean, if you're watching the show, it's perfectly relevant. There's no moment where it's kind of like, you can't handle the truth. There's nothing like that about to happen. Which would be
nothing
kind of
shocking.
So we do get one little funny moment with probably the best joke to come out of this, maybe the whole season. But between Harriet and Nels, this is kind of one of the more popular jokes between the two. Harriet's just looking at the courthouse / schoolhouse / church / quarantine facility. And she's just wondering what's going on in there.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just watching and wondering. I certainly wish I could be a little fly on that wall.
So do I. Flies have a tendency to get swatted.
He really dislikes her sometimes.
I know.
Meanwhile, in court.
So, Your Honor, James and Cassandra, part of a home where they're loved. And I think they're very happy. As far as my wife and I are concerned, that's all that's important.
So they go on. I mean, they just keep, what a terrible decision to make these kids go through. I mean, they already made this decision, kind of. I mean, they've had so much rejection and loss in their lives, and just it's so sad and terrible. Now, from what I understand, Charles legally adopted them. But there's something having to do with the length of time that the paperwork needs to exist, right?
Right. And you're supposed to get it back that month or within the month mm-hmm. to make it official.
And this is the bottom line. This is basically the crux of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Mr. Ingalls, you are aware that a waiting period of 1 year after filing is required before adoption papers become final.
Yes, sir, I'm aware of that. Those papers are due next month.
Well, had this hearing taken place after that time, there'd be no question of its outcome. Mr. Cooper?
Yes, sir.
The law is sometimes a very narrow instrument of justice, and sometimes a very cold one. In my view, it shouldn't even be exercised in this case.
I don't think I'm following.
I am making a recommendation, but it is only a recommendation that you leave the children in their present custody.
This is where I noticed his eyebrows the most. I can't not look at them. It's like, oh, no, my God.
They almost have like a mind of their own. They do their own thing.
Right. So the bottom line is he gets custody and Cassandra gets, she gets very emotional.
She pulls a Laura.
Yeah.
Cassandra, be transferred to Mr. Cooper.
No! Cassandra!
Like I said, James is too good of a brother. He's always like by her side. And
I know. Okay, this is a little off topic, but like it drives me nuts because he says Cassandra and Laura says Cassandra, but most everyone else says Cassandra. And it's like kind of like the Carolyn thing.
Little things like that do matter.
I don't know why it's pet peeve, but it is.
Cassandra.
Manly. Just stick with one, everybody.
Right. It's like a Monzo. It matters, people. It matters.
It does.
So the poor little rich girl goes running out. basically, Cassandra calls him a liar, and the whole thing is just kind of getting a little nutty at this point. But here we go. This is I'll just play this clip. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to play this clip. This is him basically saying goodbye to his attorney. I don't know why we needed this, but he's basically saying goodbye and the guy's rubbing it in how much money he's charging him.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of a random scene.
It was like a total filler scene.
Yep, filler, yeah.
But he says, look me up when you're back in Minneapolis, blah, blah, blah. But when he does leave, he basically, after Philip leaves, Jed almost collapses. Doc Baker's right there. And jumps into the opportunity to make a few bucks. That actually sounded like Harriet laughing for a second. But it's yeah, him kinda. Choking.
Easy, Mr. Cooper. Easy. Let's sit down here and relax now. That's it. Now, breathe slowly, Mr. Cooper. Slowly. Easy. Relax.
So, Doc is like, you have to come in here. You have to be checked out. I mean, you're collapsing. You're in really bad shape. So we get Doc's diagnosis. Well, I'm going to play a little bit actually of Cassandra crying because it really is just sad. I mean, if you remember when she first joined the cast, she wouldn't talk, her character. And she's come so far from, in the whole healing process of losing a parent, at such a young age. And it's just heartbreaking, but I'll play some of that. She does a pretty good job here, I think.
She does. So fun fact, mm-hmm. I read she has a memoir. She has two, actually. And she talks a lot about Little House, and it's a really good memoir, first one. And she, Michael Landon referred to her, I think, as the one-take kid because she would do her scenes in one take, and she could cry on cue, and he was just very impressed with her.
So that's incredible, actually.
Yeah.
It's quite a talent because she really does look like she's crying.
I know.
Now, I don't know if those tears are real, but she sure is all snotted up and wet, and she's going for it. She's like, I want to go home early today.
Yeah. Let's get this done.
Right.
I can't help. He's going to take us away, and we'll never see Bogpa again.
Sure we will. They'll be able to visit. You'll see.
It won't be the same, and you know it.
Yeah, I know.
I hate him. I used to love him, but now I hate him.
No, you don't.
He's like the such like a mild man. No, you don't. No. No, 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 no. So we get the doc's diagnosis, and yes, it's not looking great. So here we go.
I live.
Oh, whoops. I kind of jumped a little too far ahead. Let me just. The doc prescribes him some medicine, and I want to talk a little bit about what's in it.
Mr. Cooper?
Will I live?
That depends.
What is it?
Are you a drinking man, Mr. Cooper?
Well, I used to be, and not much.
I'd advise against mixing the two.
Well, the two make me sleepy.
Maybe a little. It's braced with laudanum.
So laudanum. It's essentially opium. And they used to give it to babies to reduce teething pain, of course, because what's better than opium for little pains?
Geez.
Yeah, right. Laudanum, that's something I can buy in the Sears catalog.
Oh.
And it's like 50. It really is in line with what Doc is selling it for here. The equivalent of about $12 for a bottle of it. And but he goes on to talk about what is wrong with him. I'm just going to play it.
I want you to take one teaspoonful every 3 hours or any time you have an attack.
What's wrong with me, Doc?
Sit down, Mr. Cooper.
When he gives him the diagnosis, did you look into the diagnosis?
I did.
I just didn't want to, jump all over it if you had looked into it. But I had never heard of this, and that's why I found it so fascinating.
You have consumption.
Not consumption. Consumption, I never heard of consumption. It seems like the kind of thing like indigestion to me. I don't. Like you consume too much, but it's actually tuberculosis.
Yes. I did look that part up. Sorry.
It's fine. Yeah.
So I did know it was tuberculosis. But I guess
one of the signs of having tuberculosis is also you drop a tremendous amount of weight.
Okay.
Because he says like a big guy like me, and the bottom line is Doc is letting him know that he's not going to survive in the climate right. that he just bought a house in. He needs to go out west. He needs to live in California or the desert. He needs the warmth. Yeah. He needs to look up a doctor named Dr. Kellogg's and and get some of his treatments, which are insane. If you ever look up some of the treatments that existed during the time, it's just crazy. But yeah, I don't think Kellogg actually did anything with tuberculosis, but he, one fun little thing to do for everyone, they should just go to Google and look up the reason why Dr. Kellogg developed, cornflakes. I don't know if you know, but it'll be a fun thing for you to do. I'm not going to spoil it.
I'll do that before I go to bed.
Well, it's one of those things where you're going to go, no. Any guesses of what cornflakes was developed for originally?
No.
All right. You'd never guess. I still can't believe it. I still think it's like a fake thing that got somehow pushed into our history books. But anyway.
I'm curious.
So he has tuberculosis, and it's really, it's not going to get better. I mean, but at the same time, he can treat it and he can live a longer life.
I kind of feel bad for him. Like in this scene, because he's like, you know, his face looks so sad. He just bought, you know, this nice house in Minneapolis. He's getting his life together. I don't know.
No, it's like he's spent his whole life struggling.
Yeah.
And he finally gets a break. And what does he have, another 3 years left?
Right.
I mean, who knows?
And he has to move across the country.
But even Doc is saying, you know, you could live many years, but you're not going to be able to live here for many years.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play some of this. And I also have a question about the money that he goes to pay with. I didn't know if you got a better view of it than I did. I cannot. Well, I'll ask you a question once it's done.
Okay.
You're right there. I'd appreciate it if you don't tell anybody.
All right.
How much do I owe you?
Oh, 50 cents for the medicine will be fine.
No, I'd rather give you this.
Oh, I couldn't take that much.
Ah, now you listen. I know you mostly get paid in chickens or bags of apples. Now, surely there's some new equipment that you could use. Okay?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's only two digits. So it's maybe 50? I don't know.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I didn't see it, but that's what I would probably have guessed.
Which is a lot of money.
Definitely. It is.
This is the Jed that we love, right? I mean, this is the guy who's like, Doc, thank you. You know what? I'm going to make your day. I'm going to give you this money and thank you. And it's the guy, we love him. He's just kind of a jerk sometimes. And he plays hard. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah, he does.
You don't want to be in a fight with Jed. I'm sorry, go on.
No, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just was going to say, I have a theory.
What if
Pa bribed Dr. Baker to falsely diagnose Jed?
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking something similar. It's almost like,
I mean, he just pops up out of nowhere. Oh, you need to come in my office. And, you know?
I picture in the background, like when Doc is in the other room, he goes to like the phone. Charles, come over here right away. I've got him. We're just going to inject him with something and he's not going to be a problem. But bring a couple chickens. You know, you got to pay for this somehow.
Bring your best chickens.
Bring two of your best chickens. Yes.
And Carolyn's apple pie.
Yeah. And it's like the golden goose. But no. You never know. They just, you never know what's going on with these Ingles. Dark times. But they're around the table. They're around the Ingles table.
Cassandra, please try and eat a little something.
All right.
You're not my mother. I'm waiting for this. You know,
can't
what
tell me
is?
What to do.
There is a real relationship, I think, between Karen Grosley and the Cassandra. And I just think she does seem to like her the most in a way. I don't know. She's so kind to her, it seems.
Yeah. Maybe she feels sorry for her because Missy Francis's mother in real life was not. Not the best.
Maybe they had a real friendship.
Mom, and so, yeah.
And she is a sweet little girl. Like, I'm going to give Cassandra probably the sweetest girl award for the entire 9 seasons.
Yeah.
As reoccurring character. But I don't know. She just doesn't seem to have a mean bone in her body, to be honest with you. But here we go.
I'm sorry about yesterday.
You have no reason to feel sorry.
You know, I was thinking, maybe Cassandra and I shouldn't even go to school.
They have a mason jar on the table that is completely period correct. It's blue glass.
Oh.
I just noticed that. It's like, geez, they really went out of their way to do some things really period correct.
And then some things like crayons, not so much. No.
And then other times, crayons, you blow the entire scene.
Yeah.
Nice job, guys.
Since there's only a few more days left.
I think you probably ought to make the most of them. Once you go on to school, it'll take your mind off things.
That was one of my favorite lines, is him trying to get out of going to school.
Right?
Maybe I should hang out here and, you know, just kind of, you know, watch TV, you know, do nothing, just kind of hang out. It's like, maybe you should get out of the house. Maybe you shouldn't be hanging out here. Keep your mind off of it. That's a parent move. That's like, no, 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 you should go do it because it'll keep your mind off
of it. Mind off of it, yes.
Uncle Jed breaks his new news. There is new news.
Well, I got some news yesterday. It seems like I have important business that's too far and too out of the way for me to take you young'uns.
I don't think there's enough room in the buggy for him, these two kids, and those eyebrows. There's just not. It is just insane how big of eyebrows this man has. You have the eyebrows of the year.
So I would be obliged to you too if you stayed here with the Ingalls. As their children. I guess I've been a selfish old man. Always thinking of myself instead of you two, and I'm sorry. Well, my bag is packed. I'm ready to leave, and like I said, it is important. Business that can't wait.
Uncle Jed?
Yes.
How long will you be gone?
Oh, a long time. A long time. So I'm pulling up stakes and selling the house. Now, I know how you feel about me, especially James and Cassandra here. But I would like you to know that my feelings, they ain't changed much. Well, for land's sakes.
Cassandra runs up to him crying, and everybody loves Uncle Jed again all of a sudden.
Yes, it's all good.
And we, you know, it's a sweet little ending. Everybody's kind of friends again, and he goes riding away, and we get this music. Whoa, that is way too loud. I'm sorry. And then it's this, right?
Yeah. I know.
Your question? You have a question at this point. I think all of us have the same question.
Oh, a question?
About Uncle Jed and the circumstances that exist right now. Like, where's the money? Like, are you really not going to give the kids any money?
That's true. I know.
So he just goes away. You know, and that's it?
I feel like Laura should have gone like that narration at the end, and we never saw Uncle Jed again or something.
And Uncle Jed, and he opened up a bunch of 7-Elevens and lost all of his money, unfortunately. Nobody was buying Slurpees that year. I don't know. I want to know, the rich uncle goes away, and they don't get a dime. They just get these few things left behind. That's it.
I know.
Last I checked, they're still broke. I mean,
yep. Did the roof ever get fixed?
I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
This whole thing was a scam. Scam from the beginning. So, yeah, I really think that it's kind of strange. I'm not happy with the way that ended. They should have had a thing, like, because we never hear about this again, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
I have to really watch closely. I mean, no spoiler or whatever, but James is, you know, not really going to be around for that much longer. So maybe he should have gone, now that I think about it. He would have gotten a different level of medical care.
Yeah. Lived the best few years of his life left.
Yeah. Crayons and everything. Yeah. But Shannon, I want to thank you so much for doing this tonight. And yeah, this was a lot of fun. This was a really great episode, and I really enjoyed it. Hopefully I can trick you into coming back on and doing another one.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Any final thoughts on the episode or anything like that?
No.
All right, me either. I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
Drugs, money, seasoning of cast iron. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.